Oh.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Monica Liel welcoming you to the LL Research radio program In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. Today is Friday, July 27th, 2012. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. Jim McCarty is Carla Ruckert's husband, the scribe for the LL Contact, and president of LL Research. Please visit our website, llresearch.org, home to over 1,500 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, the Law of One material, interviews, speeches, and more, and the community website, bringforth.org, that's bring, the number 4, th.org, featuring forums, blogs, chat rooms, and more. I'll be asking Carla and Jim questions that come from you. If you would like to ask a question live on the air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. Again, that number is 646-595-2294. Or you can join the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Again, I'm Monica Liel, and I'm talking with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty of LL Research. Well, hi, Carla and Jim. How are you doing today?
Hey.
Howdy. Doing great.
Hi.
We've got.
Okay.
What happened today was really funny. Jim, you tell what you were going to say.
Well, the item of note that happened for me this week is we got rain. So, a very practical thing on that account.
Aha.
Okay, so he tells me, that's pretty good. You know, we've got a lot of rain when everybody else is getting nothing. So, so I come back at him, and I say, well, you know, I was thinking that I was going to tell him that I went off in one of those times when I go off. As you know, I've written about it. I go off sometimes. And it's usually not very long. It's lasted as long as 3 days, which was indeed an experience. But this is just usually just for a little while, and I have no idea how long that little while is. Anyway, I was just sitting here, I guess, not doing much. Probably, if I was doing anything, I was working on food, you know, the menu for next week. So anyway, I'm about halfway there, halfway here, and suddenly I'm not anywhere. And it's beautiful. And I'm in a place where I know what I'm looking at is time. And I know what I'm looking at is the collapsing of the time-space to put me in all spaces and all, no, just all spaces. I don't get the feeling of all time, but it was as if each space had a color, and it was made up into like a some kind of a crystal with very regular diamonds. The diamond is like a baseball diamond. And it went on for as long as I could see, and all of a sudden it started collapsing. It started going, and the bottom started meeting the top, and I was there. And I was there long enough to experience it and to tell you it is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful place. And if we could stay there, it would be amazing if anybody could get our attention to talk about fighting a war. it was sort of like in the no war continuum. It was all just totally peaceful and beautiful with the ever-changing colors. And we don't, I don't think we really realize how beautiful we are when you get out of the physical and what people see when they see you is as much or more what vibration is coming from you than what you look like. So, you know, it opens up a huge new way of looking at age, which people have said from the very beginning of time, age is beautiful. But it doesn't feel beautiful when you're going through, you know, advancing, ever-advancing limitation and the challenges of older age. So if only, you know, people could spend 5 seconds in that place, I think they would just drop all that stuff about looking pretty, because if your vibrations are anything like what was pouring through me at that time, you are beautiful. So anyway, we had a little foul up here. I got screwed up in my ability to read and ability to use. Actually, the big problem was the ability to use Word, which is a continuing problem with me. And Monica does not have a proper edition of my riff. Monica, do you, by any chance, could you go back to the LLResearch.org site?
I usually
probably
use the... I'm not sure how to find it that way. I have the lawofone.info
right, okay.
Open
we're
and if I had a session.
Aren't we? We're not looking good. You'd think we were blonde. Okay. All right, I'm going to have to read this as well as talk about it. And I don't know about you, but I am decidedly not blonde. I have dark hair.
I'm blonde.
Why. Are you? Funny. Sorry. I only used blonde jokes because I kind of thought that you were dark-haired.
Well,
but
that's
I'm acting
a dark.
I'll limit it to myself, and I'll say I'm acting as if I'm blonde. But no, and no offense to people that are blonde, it's come into
okay.
the pop culture as a way to say dumb. And I could have said it that way. Okay, I'll have to think about that before I go to bed last night. That's something I must balance. I'm sorry, very sorry for the reproach to all blondes, and I will try to be better. All right, here is the message that I found today. I was just riffing through. I do this a lot. I notice a lot of people try to just, you know, go through and they memorize and they're focusing and they're kind of like, well, I started here and I'm going to read it here. And we do that every day with the things that are in our morning offering. So there's nothing against it. But I'm saying for those who who do read like that and who never try to open something at random and see what you can do, you might try it sometime. I was just looking through here in an old recipe. It's November the 1st, 1987. What?
Was that a Lightlines newsletter?
Yeah, it's a Lightlines newsletter. I'm sorry.
Ah,
Monica, you're a much better reader than I am of this because I don't know all the protocol. Yes, this is from the LLResearch.org website, and if you click on search and you type the word, then you can get whatever word it is you want to type. Now, I don't do it that way usually, but I did tonight because there are questions about the higher self. And so I clicked on higher self. I mean, I wrote out higher self, and I read the various things that were said about it. And I think this 1987 reading is probably one of the best of the Kuo readings on this subject, probably because the question was about it. But the quote that I wanted to give you was this one. You wish to know more about the higher self, and indeed it is good you should. For the concept of a self that is larger and greater than that which is before the face in the mirror is a centrally powerful one. It is a concept without which humankind's understanding of the Creator would be severely crippled. For if one looks in the mirror of mundane experience, one quickly observes that the self is not overly saintly, as this instrument would say. It is the nature of the illusion which you now enjoy that the microscope of criticism is relentlessly placed before one's own and others' actions, thoughts, and intentions, and in an illusion designed to confound the most noble sentiments. This is not surprising. Yet there is implicit and inherent and abiding in every third density heart and mind an instinct as clear and true as the instinct for breath or food. That is the instinct to seek a higher purpose, a higher beingness, an enlarged point of view, and ultimately a movement decisively from the often uncomfortable illusion and its limitations, which are meat and drink in third density. I love that way of saying that. That's the end of the quote. This is now me. We don't really think about, well, what's the higher self? But where's that coming from? It's coming from a curiosity within us that is born within us. We don't grow up, you know, and people say, well, don't ask why yet. It's a taste you have to sort of develop, you know, like really strong cheese. You know, you just have to eat lesser cheese for a while and kind of work up to strong cheese because, although that's the best, it's just, well, it's kind of, I mean, that way about our intentions. We're not giving ourselves credit for having within our very being an essence, an energy that is will not be still. It's like the light within us, the creator self that resides within each heart, and of which we have our share, which is infinite or holographical, is astounding. It's astounding to the point where sometimes people get that wrapped up in one way or another of seeing the self. You might see the self as that person which is excellent at this or that learned thing. You might see what your thing is as the only thing, and everything else is junk. The great thing about the Law of One and the material of the Confederation channeling is that it thinks that nothing is junk. It thinks that garbage is really pretty when the sun shines right on it. It doesn't bother with what pedigree we carry or what our history within this incarnation is. It makes us all pretty, that sun. So when we think about spirituality, come back to the source of it. It's a good thing to do repetitively until you learn yourself. If you find yourself thinking spiritually or find yourself looking for something larger than what you're looking at, congratulations, because you have found that part within yourself which is divine. Love is created in love. It is especially helpful to people if they have somebody that loves them. That is so informative. Sometimes, you know, you love very raggedly and you end up yelling at somebody you love or you say things you don't mean. But underneath it, there's that carrier wave of love. And we find our way through the brackets of this very imperfect behavior until we get clear enough to discover that everything always has been love, and that there's no need to get into the fusses that we get into. And until we learn that, we'll just keep on getting into fusses. But the point is, the higher self is a concept that lets us realize our divinity. Now, the higher self can also be looked at, and they look at it as this, as that sixth density self that is looking back at you. And it's hard to conceptualize this. I'm not sure if that concept is helpful to you, but what they're talking about in the Confederation channeling is that the higher self is created by that self of you within sixth density, the density of unity, that point at which you discover, oh, I'm beginning not to want to look at my past anymore. I'm beginning to want something to go forward. And that means no ambition, no nothing. There's nothing to build a life on if you really don't feel that way. I mean, if you really do feel that way, you there's nothing to make you do anything. So that higher self is your highest and best self, and it's a gift to you from your higher self. It's not really you with all of your memories. That's largely it. Excuse me, but there's also this wonderful overview of all of the higher selves in which you've ever taken part, and the higher self of which you are still being energized by. And that's the reason when you get to a place where you're working with some people that you really, really catch fire with, it's likely that you've worked with them in the past and you share a higher self from the past, or what we think of as the past. I guess I better shut up because I've used up one quarter of the show at least, but I'm interested in this concept of the higher self. And I'd like to look at the concept of time because of the fact that I just had an experience today. And I'm very much focused on it right now, so I don't know why I can't get this to work. Better watch out, Monica, because when I have a lot of energy like this, I tend to blow the equipment. Let's see. Yeah, he says, let us examine considerations concerning time, Kuo goes on. The higher self is a concept which is impossible to view in a sensible manner if the concept of linear time is clung to. The concept of one having the beginning and the end, either within one lifetime or within a creation of countless lifetimes, is a concept which creates unsolvable paradoxes with respect to considerations of the higher self. Your linear experience of time is a portion of your illusion, just as is space itself, and all that you perceive with your senses. Within that illusion, which we see as being the most sheer and the least distorted of which we are aware, we see time as simultaneous. That is, the linear river of time perceived by the human self is deep within the self within, rounded into infinity, so that what you see as past, present, and future are experienced at one time, that time being the present. As I said, it's very difficult to think of some of this stuff, but it does help. I must have been going from the river of time to where it's rounded into infinity. It was certainly an exciting thing. So he says, at this precise moment as we speak, you will contain all that you have experienced and will experience from the beginning of your consciousness until the sublime reentry of singular consciousness into the universal consciousness, which is the Creator. Then it goes on to say, this is just such good stuff. No, I'm not going to read it anymore because it is now 20 minutes into the show. I've taken up one third of it. I've got to stop.
I don't think she's going to mind, Carla.
I'm on fire tonight because I just had this experience, and you know, for a while there, you know, the things that really touch you, and this has really touched me, and that's the synchronicity. What I was saying before of just clicking on whoever, whatever, you know. And just seeing what comes up. You know, I picked this out of a whole menu of things that had higher self. And it was just exactly what I needed for today. So I thank the one known as Kuo because I think that's quite more clear, really, than I almost have the ability to imagine. And very helpful for today. So, Monica, I am finally going to shut my trap and ask Mickey and you, well, what do you think, guys? Anything more about that question?
Well, first of all, can you let our listeners know what that date was once again, in case anybody didn't catch that? Like me?
November 1st. It's November 1st, 1987.
Aha, okay.
See it now? You go to llresearch.org. All small letters.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple, Monica. Then go
on there.
Click search, and then there's a little Google thing right up at the top. You don't even have to scroll. I mean, this is luxury. And click on 1987, and then click on November 1st. And you can do this. As you can see, it's made for random clicking.
You know what? I wonder if this is not Chrome adaptable because I don't have a search button on mine. I'm using Google Chrome.
Well,
it may be the browser. It may be the browser.
Ian, our webmaster for LResearch.org was absolutely beside himself with pride when he managed to get this thing on our site. It supposedly is impossible to get on a site this small, and yet it has all this data on it. So I guess the number of data pages made it possible. I don't know why, but anyway, we got it, and it's very, very handy. And
okay,
that's why I didn't understand why 1987 wouldn't come up, because, you know, once you're in search and you click on the year, it doesn't even come up to choose.
Well, I didn't realize it was a Kuo quote. I thought it was from the Law of One, so I was looking in the Law of One index, which is where we normally get our riffs, so that was a little
bit. Oh, right,
that got,
yeah. No, I thought this was... Well, we've gotten our riffs from a couple of different places, but of course it's always either it's one of the Confederation people, so you can be sure.
Oh, yeah.
Trustworthy info.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay,
absolutely.
Monica, what have you got for me tonight?
Well, we have a couple of questions on the exact same topic, so how's that for serendipity
well,
there?
I read that before I chose to... I typed that in, so it's not really a synchronicity. It's just a desire to see more what they said about the higher self.
Right, right.
Let me get I completely fouled myself up here. I desperately need the questions for the show.
Okay. Well, the first question's real easy. From Plenum, what is the best way to contact and work with the higher self?
Okay. Do you remember, it's from whom?
What's Plenum.
Plenum. Hey, Plenum, it's really good to hear from you again. I recognize that vibration, and I'm glad to dance with you. Plenum, okay. Remember when I said about the higher self that a lot of people, especially people that have read the Law of One, would consider the higher self as another name for the inner self, that self within you, which Christians would call the Holy Spirit, and there are energy names for it in other world religions, but I don't want to be imprecise, and I don't know about it very well, so I won't name what I think I know. Just I know, and I've read that there are. And when you think about the weight of responsibility that the higher self carries. It really needs to be, I think, of another vibration than we are. The higher self doesn't make mistakes. It's not prone to temptation. It is very sensitive to you, and yet it also is very sensitive to how your vibrations differ from the vibration of the Creator. Because we're trying to make our vibrations match with that of the Creator's and be unconditional love from start to finish. And yet we find in ourselves all those parts that create ourselves, and the shadow side is very difficult to believe that anything good can happen of it. Well, if you've lived your life with outer darkness, and you've been sexually or emotionally abused, if you have been abused in any way in your lifetime, then it's hard to believe that abusers could be a part of you. Or to believe that they're a part of love. But I think it's like the piano, where you have all these dark and deeply notes. Boom, boom, boom. You know, and a lot of times a symphony will start with a boom, boom, boom. You know, and there's this big crash of sound, and all the 72 symphony instruments come in, and it's just marvelous. Well, that's what you do. You see, you look at your shadow side, and you see them for the part of you that they are, the part that is not fitting in. And you say to it, I want you to belong to me. I will accept you. I love you. And things that you don't think that you would say, you know, to one who is a robber or a murderer or whatever. Yet in you don't have to go and embrace a known murderer. But I'm saying the murderer in yourself, which you've carefully stashed away and locked in, you know, so that you never can get at it. It doesn't need to be defended. It needs to be redeemed. So the higher self is there to help you with that. It has all the dark and deeply notes of your piano redeemed. It's done the work. It's done your work. It's not you precisely. It's the best of you. It's what your higher self in sixth density wanted you to have as a memory you could go and get if you asked for it. That's where it becomes one with the Holy Spirit and angels and any spiritual energy. You must ask for it. They all follow the law of free will if they're positive. If something is nagging at you, if there's a spirit nagging at you and trying to get you to do something, I would be very careful about that. I would doubt that, because a positive spirit only wants to offer you if you are vibrating in that area. And, you know, free will comes first, so that's not something that a positive entity would do. They have to wait for you to ask them. And every time that you send out a call for a positive entity, you are asking them. You don't have to know their names. Names aren't important. You just have to say, you know, all positive entities from the unseen world, help. And, you know, thunder is going on around here. And when I said help, a great big thunderclap just went on outside. This is very interesting. But to think of the higher self as the Holy Spirit moves you over into the realm of emotion and gives you a way to open that part of yourself that has insight and awareness and sharpness to it. It if you ask yourself, what would my highest and best self do, you are asking your higher self for help. And if you will just listen to what's said right after that or just say it yourself, then you've got your ticket, or at least that's sort of the way it's been with me. If I really ask and I want to know, I will find out what the next step is. Sometimes I don't want to hear it, and that's for sure. But anyway, it's a beautiful gift, the higher self. And we all have one, and if you'll think about it, it's amazing. If we've all been 100 or 1,000 different selves, I don't know just how long that would be for 75,000 years. Jim, have you figured that out?
No, I haven't done the math.
No math there, not me either. So, you know, it probably runs to more than thousands. It's probably more than that. But all these different groups of entities who are all part of the Creator, and you've worked with all different kinds of people within a very large base, man, think of the connections that we have. And if we come together, the more we come together, then we've got our higher selves and the higher self of the group we're making. And then if other groups join us, we've got the group soul of that, you know, entity as they're making it, that's working with the higher self of us and them. I think the biggest example of that I've experienced is when Barbara Brodsky was... she came down here in an answer to a request from me for co-channeling. She had sent me some channeling, and in years, 20 years of channeling, I know not that much. Within 20 years of reading channeling, I had only channeled for a few years. I read this channeling, and I thought, you know, this woman's channeling, and it's a very positive source. And I had wanted for a long time to co-channel with somebody that was very different than the Confederation. You know, not an ET, somebody else entirely. So she was an inner god, or Aaron was Barbara's inner god, and he's a Buddhist. So he was teaching Buddhists. Kuo was offering thoughts from the Confederation of Planets, a totally extraterrestrial communication. So there was a definite dynamic there, and I thought, this is going to be interesting. So we came down, Barbara and I got to be the best of friends, and Aaron and Kuo showed us just how much love there is in this world. They adored working with each other and would say it at the drop of a this is Aaron or this is Kuo. They were so happy to be working together. I guess, you know, you can get lonely working out there by yourself. And they really enjoyed the contact with these peers, you know, out sort of space station with that Deep Space Nine, you know, and they're out working with the Romulans or something, and it's nice to meet somebody from home. At any rate, it's delightful material, very magical, and it's the best example I know of how that works, because here we had Aaron Kuo, which meant me and my higher self, Barbara and her higher self, and the higher self of the Kuo Confederation, which is a large part of the population. This has a tremendous power. And then you multiply it because Barbara brings the same. The connectivity is incredible, and the power was wonderful. And we did this 9 times over a period of about 3 years. We just spent a weekend working together and communicating with allowing the communications to come through. And so we got that published last year. It's called the Aaron Kuo Dialogues. Yeah. I recommend it. I think it's wonderful. When I was editing it, I kept thinking to myself, I can't believe how this is answering my question. Okay, I think I've said enough about the higher self and why how it can be valued. Plan, if you're on the line or if you're in the chat room or something, if there's a follow-up question, or Jim, do you have something?
Well, he was asking, I think, for some practical means for communicating with or contacting the higher self. And the only two that I'm really familiar with are in either dreams or in meditation. And I think whichever one you choose, it has to be fueled by a real desire on your part to make that contact. So I think that the first step would be to build that desire, to investigate why it is that you wish to contact your higher self and what you wish as the fruit of that contact, and really get that desire intensified within your being. And then if you're going to use meditation, then you make that as the point of the meditation and continue, say, a meditation each day for whatever time feels right to you, 5, 10, or 15 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long time, but allow yourself to be open as a receiver and desire that contact with the higher self, and then await. Await whatever comes as an image, as an idea, as a feeling, anything that responds to that great desire you have to make contact with the higher self. The other way, in dreams, I think, for me anyway, I think that's been a more effective technique, to do the same thing, to cultivate the desire in yourself, and as you go to sleep each night, make a broadcast or a plea or send out your desire to make the contact with your higher self, and then be ready when you have a dream or have an image or whatever kind of experience you have. Be ready with a flashlight and a pencil by your bed and a piece of paper to write down whatever it is that comes in response to your desire. And I think it's a good idea to have that next to your bed and to give yourself the impulse or the desire to wake and write that down. Because when you wake in the morning, your memory is likely to be imperfect as to exactly what happened. So to get it down as soon as you can after you've had the dream or the image is a good idea. I think each of these ways, through meditation or through dreams, is a good way to make this initial contact with the higher self.
Absolutely. And I think another way that goes along with those is if you're a tech baby and you only speak on the computer, you can sit by the computer and do what was the name of the guy, Walsh, did in
Neil Donald Walsh.
Yeah, Walsh, he wrote to the Prayer to the Father or something like that. What was the name of that book?
Conversations
see.
With God.
Conversations with God.
There you go.
Yes, and that's what he did. Only he used a pad of paper, and a pencil, which is the way he worked. And he just wrote his question down with the pencil, and then he waited. And if you can do it that way, or the computer, or in dreams, I don't know if Jim mentioned that it's good if you turn, if you're in the middle of the night and you're going to write down a dream, have a flashlight with you or a book light, because you don't want to wake yourself up with the bright light or you just won't get back to sleep. So just wake up enough to turn on your flashlight so you can see to write it down. And don't be scared of what to write. It's only words, You can throw the page away if it's not what you like. But, just write the first thing that you think of, and trust that. And the more you have faith and do it with all your heart, that's how it works, the more you'll pull down a vibration of information that is the same vibration as your question.
Now,
that's
do you think
to intensify it, because you're intensifying you're intensifying your signal. That's what you're doing. And what were you going to say, Monica?
Do you think that the information that you get in your dreams is always from the higher self, or do you think that would apply if you have set your intention before you went to sleep?
Well, setting your intention before you go to sleep really helps a lot, usually. But if there is some resistance already, in other words, if you're already doing outer work or inner work, either one that is fairly strong, fairly close to the light, praying like that might also attract negative information. So sources, so you'd be getting different signals. The reason that it's good to write it down immediately is that that way nothing can taint the signal that you're getting. I think dreams have the capacity to be most. The only thing that all dreams have in common is you. In one way or another, they're about you. From any level of the consciousness, from the metaphysics, from the the deepest roots of mind, where the the very deepest self is, up through those very ordered levels of consciousness where they're just, it's very orderly. I've taken trips sometimes where I could see where I was going, sort of, and it's very orderly. It's hierarchical in the way that it works, and fascinating. But you go there, and there is that information stream coming. But if you get something in a dream, and then you wait and write it down, it's not as good as if you write it down immediately, because sometimes thoughts are hidden in the way dreams, you know, sometimes there's a little puzzle to undo in order that you be able to figure out, you know, what it is that the higher self might have to say, because in a lot of ways the higher self is but one of many voices, even in the most positive communication, because there is you and all of your shadow selves talking. So it's sort of like always have the balancing negativity around. So that's not something to be afraid of. It's just something to be aware of.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm going to go to the next question, which is from Diana. And Diana asked, Carla and Jim, do you think there is a hierarchy of beings? For instance, do you feel that 5D beings are more important or of more value than 3D beings? 3D beings are more important or of more value than 2D beings, and so on? Thank you in advance for your perspectives and those of Ra.
Well, God bless you. Let's see. I think you can look at that in two different ways, and so the answer would be yes and no. In one way of looking at it, it would be like saying that 2 = 4. Person that has moved through more densities than I have is definitely going to be a lot more on the qui vive. It's going to be very sharp compared to me. It's going to know a lot of stuff that I don't know about. And I'm not talking about knowing anything about, you know, Broadway musicals or the Vietnamese War or anything that's happened in this world or in the world of beauty or anything. But just, now I've lost the train of thought. I was starting to think about how I love Broadway musicals. But really, I'm not kidding. What am I talking about here?
Well, you were talking about whether or not a person or an entity that had been in fifth density or fourth
density
is more important than
Okay, there are the two ways of looking. Okay, so if you're looking at a person or you're the higher self and you're looking at an entity, which isn't even an entity on the physical level, but it's an entity that has gone through everything you've gone through mid-sixth density and is definitely a fuller self. It's more fully achieved, shall we say. Everything was in there at the beginning, and then slowly we achieve being ourselves. And so when you want to, you know, serve, when you want to know more, you know, you need to focus inward and figure out, well, who am I and why am I serving? And these answers will help you find your higher self. But on the other hand, you and everybody else in the Confederation and in the angelic core and in the demonic realms and in all the negative densities and everything you want to count, we are all equal. We are infinitely equal. We are all created the same. We are sisters and brothers of the same creation. So, looking at it in that way, then no, every entity is equal. But I'm not sure that's very helpful, because our density is not one where you can see the full complement of skills or gifts that a certain person has, and you might be putting up a lot of resistance to work with somebody, and in that case, you're better off working without that somebody. But I think that, it's the answer is yes and no. Does any, Jim, do you see more that can be shared?
Well, I think that the advantage that the entities of higher density have is that, as you said, they have more experience and have a clearer grasp of the way things really work, so they can be helpful in service to those who do not have such a broad or deep grasp. But in the ultimate sense, we're all part of one being, and it doesn't really matter whether you're a kitty cat in second density or a sixth density higher self. We're all part of the same creator, and therefore we're all equal. So I think that's probably part of what you were talking about. There are two different ways of looking at the situation. So it's a yes and no.
On a practical level, I'm wondering how this can be applied in our current 3D reality, because when we're talking about humans only, most of us would really object to anyone showing, you know, thinking of one person as having more value than another person. You know, that's called bigotry or racism or, you know.
Right. It's not right to do that.
Right.
But it is, it is only telling the truth. When you see somebody that has done something beautiful and you appreciate them, it's not putting others down. It's just saying you really did something beautiful. So when you see somebody that's doing the opposite, he's just somebody that's misbehaving in terms of the usual, you know, values of our culture and other cultures. Just about every culture has certain deep, basic values. And shadow sides, we all have those. So it's fascinating. Of course, the area of spiritualism is one in which you're always picking, you have to pick things apart or structure things this way and that way, because some of your values are seen, some of your values are unseen, and are based on things that are unseen. And sometimes people who seem, you know, very negative, you end up discovering that they were just one step away from being really positive. Something awful happened to them, and it damaged them. But I agree with you that, you know, we would hate the idea of thinking that, like, you wouldn't even want to be in the same room as somebody that harbored mean thoughts all the time, like, you know, like some of those that say create felonies with children and stuff like that. You know, you don't want to think like that. You don't want to be like that. But there they are. How are you going to love them? Well, you don't have to say, I'm like that, to say, I love you. You don't have to love a certain example of that. You have to love the energy that created that very fragmented, very distorted picture of the Creator. You have to be able, I think, as a spiritual person, just to see that which is within. That's how people are healed, I think. The practice of Ho'oponopono in Honolulu. I've read about that anyway, and it's a really unusual practice where the doctor does absolutely nothing but sit in his room, sit in his office, and read the case files of the people he's got under him. He's a psychologist or a psychiatrist, I don't remember which. And he finds each person's damage within himself, the same vibration of damage, and then he heals himself. And in a study with a doctor that did this, I think it was somewhat over 300 patients, and over half of them were able to leave the hospital after a certain amount of time. The ones that weren't able to leave the hospital and had chronic problems for maybe part of their lives or their whole lives were able at least to stay on the medication or to bring their energy up to higher levels of function within our world. And he did nothing but sit in his office and heal himself. So I think that probably indicates the way that we can see our shadow selves and still feel that they can be healed. I mean, does that help any? Anybody got any thoughts here?
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, all I was going to add was that the patients that he was working upon were also of the same culture and had the same general beliefs, so this wasn't odd or something outside of their realm of experience. This was what they believed was possible. So I think it shows the power of the mind to heal when there is the desire to heal and the opportunity made for the healing to occur.
Of course, there are all different kinds of distance healing, Reiki healing being just one of them. That energy that he offered is very expensive, and I don't mean money. I mean it's very expensive in terms of time. He offered his whole time, his whole self. He went to work, and he offered himself for those guys, and it was a prison, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah. So I doubt if any one of them was fun to see or to talk to, but somehow he managed to do it. We were friends with a guy named Bob. We called him Prayer Wheel, remember?
Bob Israel.
Yeah. And he was wonderful and helped me through the worst of the days after Don died, when I just wanted to die too. You know, a suicide is so difficult. And Don had been my dearest, dearest, most beloved friend for 16 years. And when he committed suicide, Bob Israel was the tremendous. And what he did finally, he called us up, I guess a couple, 3 years after we first met him, and we went to see him and everything, and he called us up and he said, listen, he said, don't depend on me anymore, because we had been used to sending him requests for distant healing. He said, don't depend on me. I'm going to a different level now. He said, I am going out to the wilderness and I'm going to pray, and that's all. I'm just going to pray all the time for this planet. That's where the energy really needs to go. So we said a very sad goodbye to Bob Israel, because he was such a great guy.
Okay, well, that's all really interesting. That's some good details about the Ho'oponopono. Am I saying it right? I never know if I'm saying it right. Yeah, I didn't realize that they were of the same belief. That's interesting. We are almost out of time, but just to get back to our original question just a little bit for a little clarification on that, in addition or in contrast to the actions of people, just talking about inherent value of people, you know, 3D humans, you know, that's a question that always comes up in psychology class, you know, in high school and college, you know, if you had a chance to, you know, you save one child versus another child, and one of them was going to grow up to be a mass murderer and the other one was going to grow up to be, you know, Mother Teresa or something.
Yeah.
You know, how do you know? You know, that kind of question that they always have in college psychology classes.
Yeah.
So people generally feel that, hey, we all have the same equal inherent value as humans. One human has the same inherent value as another human. So I think what she's asking is, does that extend beyond 3D, or is there a difference in terms of inherent value? And I know you said yes and no, but how do you apply that in real life, I guess, in everyday life?
I don't know.
Should that be
extended? I mean, the question is up in the density somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Well, she was asking about higher density beings, and you know, third, fourth, fifth, and so forth. Would a fifth density being have more value than a third density? And I believe.
I was looking right in within the densities. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not doing good, very good tonight.
sure, you are. You're fine.
So I think, you know, we said yes and no, but the no part, I believe, is we're all the same, basically. We all have the same inherent spark of the infinite creator within us, so we all have the same inherent value. It's just from our distorted third density point of view that we might see a fifth density entity as being more valuable than a third, and that's just our distorted view, and it's not really true. It's just the way that we would look at things. So ultimately, we are all the same. We're all the same creator. We all have the same energy in us. We all have the same rights, responsibilities, possibilities, infinity contained within us.
Okay. All right. I think that answers it. And we are out of time. So thank you, Carla and Jim. We'll see you next week. You've been listening. Yeah. And I hope you have some more cool experiences like that. That was pretty interesting. Wow. You've been listening to LL Research's In the Now with Carla L. Reichert and Jim McCarty. If you have enjoyed the show, please visit llresearch.org, which is the LL Research Archive website. Check out the Law of One material and the channeling transcripts. Also visit the community website, bringforth.org. That's bring, the number 4, T-H, .org. And we will be here next Friday, and I don't know what the date is next Friday, but whatever it is, next Friday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Have a good week.